Chapter 13. Author's note. Specific trigger warning in this chapter for conversations about suicide, in line with how it's been handled slash talked about in other chapters, and a panic attack. Treat yourself as gently as Porsche treats Che. Dating Kim had, like, so many perks. Besides the whole dating Kim thing, the best perk of all, there was that fact that Che hadn't walked to school in weeks. There was that whole issue with graduation that he was pretty sure Kim had fixed somehow. There were pretty clothes in Che's size that mysteriously made their way into his closet. But the biggest perk was undoubtedly this. On the last day of class, an unfamiliar motorcycle waited for Che when he walked out of school, with a familiar figure standing beside it.
"Hia!"
Che shrieked, flinging himself into Porsche's arms. Porsche swung him around. "Surprise! Kim gave me the day off to come see you." "Is it weird that you work for your boyfriend?" "Eh," Porsche winked. "It has its own benefits." Che plastered his hands over Porsche's mouth. "Don't tell me!" "Okay, you don't actually seem all that surprised to see me." Che widened his eyes the best he could.
"What? I am! Totally surprised! A whole day off? Wow, that's... gosh!"
"Nong, what did you do?" Che beamed at him unrepentantly.
"I might have teared up yesterday while telling P. Kim how much I missed you. Accidentally, of course. So embarrassing."
"You're a menace," Porsche said fondly, ruffling his hair.
"I also don't work for my boyfriend," Che said, sticking his tongue out at him.
Porsche laughed and pulled him towards his bike. "Okay, okay. It's your graduation. Where do you want to go today?"
"Noodles,"
Che said hopefully. Porsche flashed a black credit card at him. "Sure. The boss is paying."
"Yeah, it's weird," Che decided. "I'm too little to be brought into the weirdness you two have got going on."
But he didn't really mean it. Porsche was clearly stressed. There were smudges under his eyes and lines on his forehead that hadn't been there before. But underneath all that, he smelled content in a way Che had never seen from him before. Wherever the stress was coming from, it wasn't from Kim. Che thought he might know where the stress was coming from. But he had all day to wheedle it out of Porsche. For now, Noodles awaited. "Under the couch," Che said. "Weird, I'll grant you. But get this, Kim keeps one in a waterproof bag inside the toilet."
"He does not!" Che gasped.
"He does."
"Ew, would he, like, reach his hand in there, or..."
Porsche was cracking up. "Oh, you better believe he'd make one of his bodyguards do that for him. Man's a diva."
"I can see it," Che mused. They were sitting at their favorite noodle shop, the same place where everything had changed for Che what felt like a lifetime ago.
They'd both eaten two bowls, and were now slowly finishing off the extra dumplings they'd ordered. Porsche popped a dumpling into his mouth and chewed contemplatively. He swallowed and sighed. "I feel like a bad big brother."
"What?"
Che squawked in outrage.
"Says who? You're an amazing big brother."
"We were literally just having a conversation about where our boyfriends would hide their guns." Che had been wondering when this would come up.
"Hia,
And I know it's your choice and your life. But I just feel like none of this would have happened if I hadn't taken this job. You didn't introduce me to P. Kim, Jay reminded. I guess, Porsche said uneasily. Getting involved with this family, it's really not safe. I love him here, Jay said quietly. You love Pekin. What else can we do? If I was a better brother, I'd ship you off to boarding school in America. You try, Jay said, a playful growl entering his voice. Porsche growled teasingly back, and they used their chopsticks to fight over a dumpling. Che eventually stabbed it through the center and popped it into his mouth. Ha! It's nice to see you happy, Porsche admitted. Same, Che mumbled through a mouthful of food. Chew and swallow, Porsche said automatically. Also, Tenkun says thanks for the heads up about Kim getting contacted. Tell him thanks for making it go away. Kim's been a lot happier. Porsche's mouth twisted. I'm glad. He deserves it. I like him, you know. He likes you, Jay said, betraying his boyfriend in a heartbeat. Sorry, P. Kim. Porsche flashed him a brief smile. How much do you know about what they're planning? Che asked softly. Porsche hesitated. A lot. I made Kin tell me. And the more we look into Korn, the weirder it's all getting. What do you mean? Che sat up straight. We're not sure, Porsche said, strained. There's just so many coincidences. Kin and me. Kim and you. I don't know. Yeah. Please don't ask me to tell you, Porsche said. His scent curled up around Che, coaxing and soothing. We don't know anything for sure yet. You don't need to be in this mess any more than you already are. You focus on Kim, okay? And you, Che said stubbornly. Porsche softened. Yeah. And me. Can you at least tell me what you're all waiting for? Che asked. Porsche hummed. Kin says we need a change in the status quo. Tenkun says we need an opportunity. What do you think? I think we need an ally. Porsche turned grim. I was working on it, but things got... Let me guess. Complicated. Yeah. One of my friends got hurt. He doesn't want to talk about it. Be careful here. Trust me, Porsche said, making his voice lighter. Che squeezed his hand. Always do. Kim was on campus when his phone chimed. He was talking to a gaggle of first-year music students who looked at him with adoring eyes. Cute, but he'd seen cuter. Excuse me, he said smoothly, even as his pulse jumped. He only had two numbers with alert tones, and that had not been Che's. From Gun Emoji. Hi, pup. Adrenaline flooded Kim's body in prickly static. Where are you? Does it matter? Tell me. Aw, I do care. That's nice. Thought you hated me too. Kim's heart was pounding. He did hate Vegas. At least, he had hated him a few weeks ago. But the mission had gone surprisingly well, and Vegas had been quiet ever since. The trouble Kim had expected had never materialized. Who was he kidding? even if none of that had been true, Kim would always answer this number. Tell me where you are. Safe house. Two choices. I come to you, or you come to me. Oh, yes, sir. Pick one. 10 seconds. Such a mean dom. I'll come to you, but it's not going to be pretty. When is it ever? Che was out with Porsche this afternoon, so it would be safe to have Vegas come to his apartment. Kim had class, but it didn't matter. What Vegas had done or might do in the future didn't matter. Only his pack's safety mattered. Vegas had never texted him like this before. It was terrifying. Kim had been doing this to him for years, and hadn't once considered what it would be like to be on the receiving end. Kim opened his texts one more time with shaking fingers. Do not shoot yourself until we talk. Confirm. Confirm. Vegas announced himself by pounding on the apartment door. Kim flung it open and covered his anxiety by snapping. Charming. Why can't you knock like a normal? Vegas's scent smacked him in the face like a wave. Kim took a gulp of air through the smell of rotting blood and burnt pepper. Something hot and nasty pulsed underneath. Vegas, usually so graceful, stumbled into the apartment. Do you have some? It was obvious what he was talking about. Kim had never smelled Vegas off his heat suppressants, but he clearly was now. With a scent this strong, if Vegas wasn't in heat, he was about to be. Vegas was pale and sweating, wearing an oversized t-shirt and old sweatpants. There was another scent hanging around him that Kim couldn't place. Of course I have suppressants, Kim said roughly, to cover his fear. What happened to all of yours? Ran out. Vegas was even more paranoid about medication than Kim was. His rancid scent made Kim nauseated. He swayed towards the scent of a Pack Omega in pain, wanting to help, to comfort. But he didn't know how. That was not what he and Vegas did for each other. Instead, Kim shoved his fingers into the opening of the wound and pulled. There was no way you just ran out. Tell me what the fuck happened. Vegas was holding himself very still in a way that could only mask trembling. His hands were fists. What happened was that my father got angry and suddenly my pills were gone. When I tried to replace them, every black market supplier in Bangkok was mysteriously out of stock. Kim swallowed around horrified realization. I fucked up, Vegas said tonelessly. He stared at the wall over Kim's shoulder. First with you at that gala. Then with Porsche. Then with Pete. Vegas shook his head. His hair, usually so neat, flopped into his eyes. Papa and Uncle aren't happy. I really fucked up. Vegas, Kim said, and then didn't know what else to say. Instead, he went into his bedroom and grabbed his bottle of suppressants from his bedside table. He handed the bottle to Vegas. Here. Vegas snatched the bottle and swallowed a pill immediately. His hands were shaking so badly, he couldn't get the lid back on. Kim took it from him, and Vegas swayed into him desperately. Kim reached out and circled Vegas's wrist with his fingers. I don't know if these will be enough at this point. You're not supposed to go cold turkey with this shit. You think I don't know that? Vegas snarled. His hand twisted in Kim's grip until he was clutching Kim back. When was the last time you had heat? God, Vegas choked. God. Kim remembered how Porsche had curled his scent around Kim and made him feel safe. Kim wasn't Porsche, but he still took a step closer and pushed some of his own scent into the air. He'd stopped using scent blockers regularly because of Che, so it was easy. Vegas took a breath and, surprisingly, steadied. Kim rubbed his thumb over the delicate skin on the underside of Vegas's wrist and let their scents mingle. It had been a long time since they'd done anything like this. "Can I call someone for you?" Kim asked.
"No, don't call him."
"Who?"
Vegas bared his teeth. "I'm serious, Kim. I don't deserve it after what I did to him."
He was gripping Kim so tightly. "Do you want to stay here?"
Vegas laughed, an ugly, hysterical sound.
"Gonna fuck me through it, baby cousin." "Don't be disgusting. Get yourself under control. The suppressants should kick in soon."
Vegas rubbed his free hand over his face. His shoulders drooped, the fight going out of him.
"You were right. It's too late to stop it." For all that Kim fought him, Kim didn't like to see a defeated Vegas. He offered the bottle again. "They'll still help take the edge off. Keep them."
"Save some for yourself first."
Kim's throat tightened. "I have more."
"Good. Always take care of yourself first, pup."
"I'm not your pup," Kim muttered, but it was half-hearted.
"Yes, you are," Vegas murmured. He ducked in and took a deep breath of Kim's scent.
"You're such a snotty little brat." "Still are." He snagged the bottle and stepped back.
"Thanks for the drugs."
"Where do you think you're going?" Kim demanded, tightening his grip.
"Away," Vegas said. "I can handle this myself."
Kim considered logistics for a moment, and was forced to admit none of the restraints he had in his apartment would hold his cousin if he was truly determined. That fear from earlier came flooding back at the thought of what Vegas might do if left alone. Kim asked, "Where's your gun?" Vegas regarded him with eyes that were mostly black.
"Waistband."
Kim let him go and held out his hand.
"Like hell,"
Vegas said unsteadily. "Give it to me, or give me back my pills." Kim also felt unsteady. "You texted me. This is what we do."
"Is it?"
"Yes," Kim snarled. "Do not make me take it from you. I will not be happy."
"Anything to make you happy, sweetheart," Vegas murmured.
He reached behind his back, and then he was offering the gun, safety on, pointed politely away from them both.
"Ah, if only our fathers could see us now. Such a squandered opportunity for parricide."
Kim put it in his own waistband. "Fuck them both, actually." Vegas laughed again, just as wildly as before.
"Vegas," Kim said,
something soft rising up inside him.
"Just stay here."
Vegas smirked at him, a pale imitation of his usual.
"No."
And then he left, leaving behind the scent of pain and sickness. Kim had his phone out and dialing before the sound of Vegas's footsteps faded.
"Be Kim!"
Che's cheerful voice exclaimed.
Hi! We're just finishing lunch. What's up?
Kim didn't know how to answer that. He just called Che without thinking. His fear was still crackling up his spine.
Be Kim?
Che asked, sounding more concerned.
Are you all right?
Are you? Kim managed to get out.
What? Yeah, of course. I'm here with Porsche.
That settled Kim enough to say, let me talk to him.
Tell me if you're okay first.
I'm fine.
Okay. I love you,
Che said, and there was a rustle before Porsche's warm voice said,
No, what happened?
Vegas is going into heat.
Is he with you?
Porsche asked immediately. He just left. I gave him a bottle of suppressants because he didn't have any. Kim needed Porsche to ask. He didn't know if he could say it on his own.
Why didn't he have any?
Kim said the words that would make it real. His father and my father made sure he didn't.
What the fuck?
Porsche exploded.
What the absolute fuck?
Kim squeezed his phone so tightly it creaked. Yeah.
I'm calling Kin.
Kin hates Vegas. He's not going to care.
Yes, he absolutely will.
Porsche's voice was darkly expectant. It felt too close to the truth Kim had been hiding from his brothers his whole adult life, but also, a traitorous Omega thought wanted his pack to help. Deep down, he'd told Porsche, knowing what the man would do. Still, he wasn't going to sit around and let Kim do something stupid. Kim was already heading out the door and walking to his car. Can you, I don't know, do something?
Not me, but yeah, I know someone who can.
Hey, Kim said, calling all the threat of Kim Han to his voice. Don't bring anyone else into this. Porsche sighed.
Unfortunately, Pete's already in it.
A bodyguard? Kim asked, bewildered.
Trust me, Pete's the guy you need on this. How bad was Vegas when he left you?
He was forced off his heat suppressants. So.
So.
Porsche agreed, his tone heavy. He knew. They both knew. It was a fear that all Omegas who use suppressants shared. That someday the pills would fail or they'd lose access to them. And then they'd be plunged into an artificial heat from hell. He said he didn't want anyone around, Kim felt duty-bound to point out.
Well, usually it's good for Vegas not to get everything he wants.
All the nerves in Kim's body were jangling with the need to fix it, to comfort, to curl up around his pack and soothe them. He threw himself into his car and peeled out into the street. Keep Che safe, Kim said.
Always do.
When Kim screeched to a stop in front of the compound's entrance, there was already a commotion. He saw a familiar pink dressing gown surrounded by a group of black suits and leapt out of his car. Kun, he called, elbowing the guards out of his way. He could smell his brother's scent, sharp with fear, and it made him vicious.
Kim! Tenkun shouted. Tell him he can't go!
His brother was clinging to Pete as the man desperately struggled to get free. Pete was supposed to be Tenkun's bodyguard. He was absolutely not supposed to be clawing Tenkun's hands off his body. Kim growled, loud and deadly. Pete's eyes were glazed. He was pale and sweaty. He looked exactly like Vegas had, only worse. Pete was a beta. He wasn't supposed to get heats or ruts like this.
Kunu, let me go, Pete begged. I have to go to him.
He twisted in Tenkun's grip, and then Kim saw it, a fresh mating bite right over his scent gland. It was angry and raw, not just a bite, but a wound. Vegas had done this, and Kim knew he didn't have a matching one.
Kun, Kim said, his mouth dry. You have to let him go.
Pete went momentarily limp with relief.
No!
Tenkun said, clutching Pete tighter.
Vegas doesn't deserve him.
It doesn't matter, Kim said. You can't keep him away.
Tenkun didn't fight when Pete pulled himself out of his grip. Kim offered his keys, and Pete took them without even a thank you.
Vegas left my apartment 20 minutes ago, Kim said.
The fire in Pete's eyes was unsettling. I'll find him.
Find him fast, Kim blurted out. I think he'd rather die than go through a heat like this.
Pete's lips pulled back from his teeth in a terrifying grin.
That's not a choice he gets to make.
My Pete! Tenkun moaned as the car sped off the compound grounds.
My poor, poor Pete!
Kim put a hand on his shoulder. He knew Pete was the victim in this travesty, but also, Vegas was Pack. He couldn't be sorry that someone else cared about saving his cousin's life.
Where's Ken?
With Father.
Tenkun sniffed, wiping his eyes with the sleeve of his dressing gown. Kim didn't run, but he walked faster than he ever had in his life. When he reached the second floor, he could already hear the raised voices and smell the aggression, smoke and jasmine and anger.
Telling me we had nothing to do with this,
Kim was demanding.
I have no control over how my brother chooses to discipline his son,
Korn's voice said calmly.
Uncle doesn't have enough sway over the drug market to do this,
Kin said flatly.
The main family does.
Gunn called me and asked for a favor.
Kin's scent rose along with his voice.
Vegas is one of our Pack Omegas.
Korn, psst. You are acting as if we've hurt him. Heats are natural for Omegas. If anything, Vegas was harming himself by staying on suppressants for so long. His father and I were concerned about his behavior, yes, but we were also concerned for his health. If he refuses to make the right choices, it is our duty to make them for him.
I disagree. Kin snarled.
Kim couldn't have moved if he'd wanted to. He felt like he was hanging off Kin's words, like each one was building him steady ground to stand on.
That isn't how I'm running things,
Kin said, the clean smoke of his scent drowning out everything else.
And I am running things now. Right, Papa?
Korn said.
Yes. Uncle should have come to me first,
Kin said firmly.
I'm the head of the business now. It was disrespectful.
Kim hadn't expected Kin to take that angle, but it was irrefutable. Their father's goal had always been to force Kin into this position. He couldn't very well deny that he wanted him there. Clever, Kin.
It is wise to learn from your elders,
Korn said.
I will consider that,
Kin said tensely.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have vendors to speak with.
Kim was too off balance to move out of the way when Kin opened the study door and walked out. Kin jumped in surprise upon seeing him, and hastily went to close the door, but he wasn't fast enough. "Kim," their father called. Kim did not want to go into that study that smelled like angry alpha and his father's cloying scent, but he couldn't think of any way to get out of it either. He bit his cheek. "Hello, father."
"Come in here."
Kim pushed down all of the emotions he'd been feeling for the last few hours. He made himself blank. He made himself Kim Han. Then he lifted his head and walked past Kin to talk to their father. Kin followed him back inside without a word. He stood shoulder to shoulder with him, almost touching, but not quite. That was very weird. Alarm bells started going off in the base of Kim's skull. Korn raised his eyebrows, but he didn't comment and spoke directly to Kim.
"I assume you've heard what happened to your cousin."
"Yes," Kim said neutrally.
"It's a shame," Korn mused. "This world of ours is cruel to people who meddle in things they shouldn't."
"Yes."
"Kin," Korn said, his eyes never leaving Kim. "I would like to speak with your brother alone."
"I'm afraid that's not convenient," Kin said coolly. "I need him."
Kim looked at him then. Kin had his jaw set in that stubbornness that had always driven Kim crazy.
"I'm sure it can wait," Korn said, with a touch of impatience.
"It can't."
Kin edged in front of Kim, nudging him back a step, closer to the door.
"Come on, Kim."
What was happening? Kim had just watched his brother defy their father twice in one conversation. First for Vegas, now for him. And it had been fine. Kin had done well, even. He'd been smart about it, more collected than Kim had thought he could be. He remembered Ten Kun saying, "Kin is tougher than you think he is." The ground beneath his feet grew more solid with every step out of their father's office. Kin's phone rang, and he paused in the hallway with a grimace.
"Will you wait?"
he asked Kim intensely. Kim nodded. Kin picked up the phone and put on a smooth, deadly purr.
"You have been listening to people you shouldn't fight. I don't care. Did I tell you to blacklist my pack Omega? Well then, there you go."
Kim had been thinking of Kin as that teenage alpha, helpless against his newly presented instincts. But they weren't kids anymore. Kin didn't just have control, he was in control, both of himself and the situation.
"Spread the word that I am not pleased. If you and your pill-pushing cronies are smart, you'll spend today thinking about how to make it up to me."
His brother, Kim realized with a sudden jolt, was a pack leader. Somehow, under Kim's nose, Kin had grown into his power. And apparently he used it to protect his Omegas, even if one of them was the cousin he hated. Kin had been texting Kim for weeks, awkward and sincere, just to check on him. Someone had killed Kim's target last week before he could do it himself. Kin pocketed his phone and turned back to Kim.
"Sorry."
If Kin was acting like this towards Kim, then he knew there was something to protect Kim from. They walked together without a word, and made their way silently into the elevator. When the doors closed behind them, they looked at each other. Kin's warm, dark eyes regarded Kim with so much open concern that he immediately started to feel anxious. The ground underneath him was more solid than he thought, but the thought of walking on it was still awful, especially when the path seemed to be leading them to the one truth he'd been trying to hide. Kim slapped the button to stop the elevator. "Are you going to tell me what's going on, or am I going to have to beat it out of you?" Kin held up his hands with unconvincing innocence. "I don't know what you mean. You're challenging Korn. You're consolidating your power base."
"I am the head of business now," Kin pointed out. "It's helpful for a smooth transition."
"You didn't want me to be alone with him," Kim said, as a test. Kin's scent flared up in anger before he wrangled it back under control. Fuck. Fuck. Cold dread dripped steadily down Kim's spine. "Things have been different ever since the mission with the Minor family," he pushed, even though he didn't think he wanted the answer. "Tell me why."
"Kim," his brother said cautiously, like Kim was a stray cat he was trying not to spook. "Do you really want to talk about this? Because if you want to, we can really talk about it."
This was why he trapped himself in the elevator, so there was nowhere to run.
"I never want to talk."
Kin cast his eyes upward in a plea. Sometimes he was as dramatic as Kun.
"I know. We were hoping your boyfriend would train you out of that."
"He's my boyfriend because he doesn't make me talk."
"I wish his brother had the same philosophy."
"What would we even talk about?" Kim asked. Because he knew, and it was making it hard to breathe. He braced a hand against the glass wall and looked down at the scurrying people below. Their empire. Kin looked almost as nervous as he felt. He was clearly struggling with the words. The two of them sucked at this. Where was Tenkun when they needed him?
"In light of some recent discoveries," Kin said, with stilted formality, "I thought we could talk about renegotiating your role in the family business."
Kim tried to suck in a breath, but the air felt thin. He could hear a shrill buzz in his ears.
"I don't have a role." "That had been my past assumption as well. However..."
Kin lost his words. He gestured rather helplessly at Kim. He knew. After all this time, Kin finally knew.
"Recent discoveries?" Kim croaked. "Yes."
Kin's eyes pleaded with him.
"Very recent."
"How many discoveries?"
"9.
"Missing a few, then." Kin was obviously fighting hard to keep his scent under control, but it still filled the small space with pain. Sometimes, when Kim had imagined this moment, he'd fantasized about his brother's pain on his behalf.
"Those were just the hits that fit the profile,"
Kin said eventually.
"I assumed there might be others."
The profile. Alpha, found naked or mostly naked, last seen with a pretty young Omega on his arm. Kim's vision started to spark and warp, the world tilting. Kin knew.
"What kind of renegotiation?"
Kim asked, sounding far away.
He snagged a breath, but it didn't seem to help.
I'm terminating your current position and all associated duties.
Kim's head felt like it was being squeezed in a vice.
I'm good at it, he choked out.
Are you sure you want me to stop? Yes, Kim, I'm sure.
Might be useful, if you're making a move soon.
I don't want you to be useful,
Kim said, his scent aching.
Then what do you want?
Kin's voice was so soft.
I just want you to make music, Nong. You're good at that, too.
Kim was drowning on dry land. He scrambled back, groping blindly for the buttons to start them moving again. He had to get out of here. If he stayed with Kin any longer, something terrible was going to happen.
Kim? Are you all right?
Kim twisted out of the way to avoid his hands.
No, no, I can't.
He was panting, but he still wasn't getting enough air into his lungs. Black spots dotted Kin's concerned face. Kim took another step back and stumbled through the open elevator doors. He crashed down to the floor. He heard a yell and smelled the faint scent of citrus.
Kin, what happened?
Tenkun shouted.
I don't know. We were just talking.
Kim's fingers were numb. He couldn't feel his legs.
Inside.
Help me move.
Strong arms braced him on either side and moved him through the hall. Out of the harsh, bright lights and into a room that was filled with soft couches and familiar scents. Kim's panic fluttered in his throat, and he gagged on it.
Breathe,
commanded his head alpha. The command was like a glimpse of sunlight through the water, and Kim broke the surface long enough to drag in a long, gasping breath.
You're safe,
the Alpha said.
Fuck, Kun, I don't know what I'm...
You're doing good,
said another safe Alpha.
Okay. Everything's okay, Kim. Just keep breathing.
Kim tried to cough out whatever was stuck in his throat. When he did, it sounded like a sob.
Hi, baby brother. You're breaking my heart.
Warm arms curled around him and held him tightly. That was good. Kim thought he would shake apart otherwise. Someone else had put both hands on his legs and squeezed. It reminded Kim he had legs. Without thinking, he turned his face into sweet-smelling warmth. Tenkun's robe was soft against his cheek.
That's it, Tenkun soothed. Just like that.
Strong, gentle hands rubbed Kim's back. Kin. Vaguely, Kim knew he should be embarrassed about this. But right now, he just wanted someone to help him stop feeling this way.
We've got you, Tenkun promised.
Maybe they did. Maybe the ground underneath his feet was solid after all. Maybe. Author's notes.
OP Wick, we're really in it now.